Last week we were explaining the first bracha of the Amidah. For some reason, I don't know how we went into coming into the bracha of the Amidah. We were doing a different subject altogether. All of a sudden we went to the bracha of the Amidah. What was the subject that was
Berakhat
HaMazon? Because you asked about the Berakhat HaMazon from Keva Berakhat HaMazon Ve'at Pazon. I'll analyze all the meaning of that sentence. And we went through it, and then we came into the Amidah. We explained the first Beracha. The Ezra asked, Rabbi, would you please give us the continuation of this, the meaning of the Amidah. First of all, before I'll explain the meaning of the Amidah, I'd like to give some laws referring to the prayer in general. The prayer of Shachrit is divided into five parts. The first part is called Korbanot. Why? Because mainly we do that part because the Jewish people used to offer sacrifices during the time of Bet HaMikdash. Now we don't have Bet HaMikdash. What do we do instead? It's written in the Gemara and the Midrash. When a person doesn't have Bet HaMikdash, he reads the parasha in the Torah that speaks about the Korban, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu will consider it for him as offering that Korban. That's why we read it, we do it because of the Korbanot. What are the main Korbanot that there is? Daily Korban used to be in Bet HaMikdash, they call it Korban Tamid. What Korban Tamid? Which is permanent, continuously, every day of our life. Used to be a Korban all the time. That's called Tamid. Tamid means all the time, always. What was that Korban? The Korban was two lambs that they brought them every day. They bought them, and they brought them one that was offered early in the morning before any other Korban, and one was late afternoon. Between these two Korbanot, they offer all other Korbanot. Sometimes a person had an obligation of bringing Korban. He pledged himself to bring a Korban. A lady gave birth. She brings a korban of thanks to God. There are many, many korbanot that mentioned in the Torah. If a person did something wrong, he has to offer korban. All these korbanot, they come between these two, the one in the morning and the one late afternoon. This, the one of the morning and the one afternoon, who brings it? From what? Where is the money from? From the public. That's called korban tzibur, korban on behalf of all the Jewish people, on behalf of the public. The public gave certain contributions, that's called mahatzit ha-shekel, half a shekel, once a year. This mahatzit ha-shekel was given in the month of Adar. They had the time to give it from Rosh Chodesh Adar till the end of Adar. After they collected all this money, they kept it in Beit HaMikdash. Every day they were buying this korbanot. Not only this, all other korbanot that they have to come on behalf of the public, on behalf of all the Jewish people. What are more korbanot that they will come in on behalf of all the Jewish people? Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, holidays, all the korbanot of the holidays, they come on behalf of all the Jewish people. The additional, today what do we have instead of the additional?
Musaf,
korban musaf. That is the nosafim. It's written that we bring an additional korban. Shabbat.
Did they use the mahatzit ha-shekel to count the amount of people that were? Did they use it for a census also?
Not that. That's not of every year. Every year was brought mahatzit ha-shekel for the korbanot.
But they didn't use it also
mahatzit
to count.
Mahatzit ha-shekel was used sometimes when they counted the Jewish people. They brought mahatzit ha-shekel and they counted the mahatzit ha-shekel because
they didn't
count
every year.
No. Only when they needed to count. But mahatzit ha-shekel of every year was only for the korbanot. These korbanot were coming every day and every Shabbat. Shabbat is additional. Rosh Chodesh, if Rosh Chodesh comes on Shabbat, there is a korban of every day, two lambs. On Shabbat there is an extra two lambs. Rosh Chodesh is much more, eight more. That means it comes Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh together, you have quite a number of korbanot. On Shabbat, they slaughtered, they burned.
You're allowed?
This is the mitzvah of the Torah. Who told you don't do things on Shabbat, he tells you to do. This is the mitzvah of the Torah. the main thing is what God says. God tells you do, you do. God tells you don't do, you don't do. And when you do for your home, that's Hilul Shabbat. You do in Beit HaMikdash, that's a mitzvah. They did all these things. Today we don't have Beit HaMikdash. What do we do? First of all, our rabbi said the prayers that we pray every day, Tefillot, Keneged, Temidim, Tekenun. Why do we pray Shachrit and Mincha? For Korban Tamid. The prayer of Shachrit for the Korban that they used to have in the morning. Prayer of Mincha for the Korban afternoon. Then what do we pray Arbit? The Korbanot, they were able to offer the meat, cut it, and offer it, burn it on the Mizbeah, on the altar, during the day, but also whatever left, they didn't have a chance yet to burn it because they were very busy. They have time till the whole night. That's when the offering was continuing of the Tamid throughout the whole night and till the morning. It's not allowed to stay overnight. Only the same day and at night. That's what we pray also, the prayer Arbit. The prayer Arbit wasn't as must as Shacharit and Mincha, because the main thing of the Korbanot was Shacharit and Mincha. That's why there isn't Hazara in Arbit. It is only in Shacharit and Mincha. Now,
what did they do with the Korbanot? They just offered it and they burned it and that was it? Did anybody eat from it?
This Korbanot that said that they can't be out of the public, they slaughtered the animals, they cut it into parts, the parts according to the animals, the arm, the leg, and they burned it on the Mizbeah. All of it. Burn it on the Mizbeah. Except the skin. They take the skin, who took it? The Kohanim that offered the Korban. They used it for themselves. They could use their skin to make leather, to make whatever they want, a jacket or anything. That means the leather was a property of the Kohanim. Now this is all Aula Asher Ekrim La Kohen Lo Yiyah. That's of the Kohen that offers it. That's for certain the Torah. Now,
and the bone?
That's why they call it Korban Ola. Why Ola? Shinaim Layom Ola Tamid. Why Ola? That all goes up on the Mizbeah to be burnt. This is the offering that the people gave every day. That means, in a way, these Korbanot were bringing forgiveness for Jewish people. Everybody shows this Korban, and he thinks about it. And they used to have Ma'amadot. Ma'amadot means people who represent all the Jewish people to come there to stay in Beit HaMikdash and read the special Torah. Of Mishmarot that they come for the whole week, they sit down, they read Torah on behalf of all the Jewish people to be there close to the Korban when being offered. There used to come shifts of the Jewish people, representative of the Jewish people.
Just to learn.
Now,
and they prayed also at the same time? Did they salim Shahrid while they were making their
yeah,
Korban?
Yeah, the beginning when they prayed Shahrid before, when they had Korbanot, but the prayer was a different purpose, because the Torah said every Jew must pray every day. That's another mitzvah, to pray every day. That's right. But the prayers weren't exactly like we have today. That's set today, the prayer is set exactly for the Temidim. For each Korban, a special prayer. But that time was a different. Now, but they prayed every day, because the Torah said, Le'ovdo bechol levavchem v'chanoshechem. You serve God with your heart. How do you serve God with your heart? You serve God with your hands. You offer Korban with your hand. How do you serve with the heart? That means with a prayer. That you pray, the prayer comes from your heart, from the bottom of the heart. You know what they say? The deeper that you pray, the bottom of your heart, the more the prayer can go further away. Just like when you shoot an arrow, the more you take the bow, you pull it towards your heart, the more you pull it, the more the arrow goes further up. The same thing here, the prayer, the more comes from the bottom of the heart, it goes much higher in heaven. Now, this is the Avodah V'Chol Avchem, we have to pray every day. At that time, everyone used to form his own prayer. At the beginning, everybody formed his own prayer because the youth were expert in the Hebrew language. They were expert in the knowledge of the Torah. But after they went to the Galut, to the diaspora, to exile, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah saw when the Jewish people came back, they weren't expert in the Hebrew language. They weren't expert in the knowledge of Torah. They had to set for them exactly what would be the order of the prayer. And that's why it came to Amidah. Otherwise, the people wouldn't know how to put it. That time they had principles how the Amidah should be, how the prayer should be. And everyone formed his own wording. But then they saw it's no good. And Shaykh Nasir Abdullah, who were some of them prophets, they set these prayers for us. That's why the Amidah is very important. Now I said, the prayer, yeah.
When you say Abraham, he was the one that started Shahriq. So that he just gave like the outline of what to say, and then everybody
no,
did their own?
No. Abraham was the first one that mentioned he prayed Shahriq. He did not pray only Shahriq, he prayed more. But he set for his children to pray every day in the morning. He did not set the rule for his children to pray all the prayers,
prayers
he prayed. But he said, he wanted, he asked his children to pray every morning, the morning prayer, before they go to attend their business. Came Yitzhak, and he added to it. He asked his children, they should add on the prayer of Shahriq that his father taught him, pray Mincha. Then came Yaakov, and he said the prayer, Arbit. He said evening prayer. That's what they say, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. But for themselves, they prayed more. Abraham prayed morning, noon, evening. Yitzhak prayed all this time, but they wanted their children to pray. That's what it means, tiken. Tiken means he set for his children later. That's what you remembered good. And we'll go back to this. The first part of the prayer is korbanot. As we say, what do? We read that parasha speaking about korban tamid. Then with korban tamid, after that came ketoret. What's ketoret? That they took besamim, many of those spices together, they burned them, and they gave a very good odor on that. Amigdash, the odor used to go miles and miles away. It was, the Torah said, you must do it the exact number. They give you the amount of each one of them, those besamim, and each one of them, or how much, and to burn it together, and nobody is allowed to do it in his own house. If you will do it, Hayav Karet, you're obligated to die.
Any of the spices, all of them together, Hayav Karet?
11 of them.
No, yet it was haram to burn any of them, or all of them?
No. All together, to make exactly
but
the same amount.
But each individual, you can burn.
Do anything, but don't make the same amount that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said for Beit HaMikdash.
Okay.
You're not allowed to do it for your own purpose. And this is exactly a certain parasha of the Ketoret. Right after the Tamid, we read the Ketoret. That's called Ketoret, that you put the Samim spices together and burn them. Then they read from the Baraita, the explanation of the Ketoret. Ketoret certain in the Pesukim, but we can't understand them. Came the Baraita, explained them. There is 11 of them, and those 11, 10 of them, if you take it individually, an excellent order. But one of them was terrible order. If you put it alone, people would run away from it. But when you put it together with the 10, became much better than if you put the 10 alone. Much, much better order. And they say, what is the idea? To show you that if you have in the prayer, not only the good people, you join together, you bring people closer to God, that they weren't so good. You make them come and pray, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would accept that prayer even more than when all of them, they were the tzaddikim praying by themselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants the tzaddikim to help others to come closer to God. They say that, they tell a story that the rabbi was waiting for minyan, for mincha. It's very late, he's waiting. The 15 minutes now became 10 minutes. There's no minyan. He went outside, asked people to come in. Then he asked someone, he came. After he came, the rabbi saw him. Look, he said, we'll wait some more. Why? He didn't want that one to be counted for the minyan. He knew him that he was no good, Halal Shabbat, and everything. He didn't want. He wants 10 that they are Shabbat. Came the man, he realized, he understood why the rabbi doesn't want to count him to him. He said, Rabbi, don't you know that in the Ketoret there is there the Besamim? One of them is very bad, Halbena. That because they put the bad with the good becomes better. They said, how come you don't accept me? He said, that halbena, which is bad order by itself, is good when it comes with the others. The rabbi said, you're right, you know, that's why they told us to have 11 over there. Not 10. As an extra, it's okay. Anyhow, that's why the rabbi was very sharp, straight. But really, there is a question in the books. What do we do today? Today we have minyan. We are going to check everyone. Harish Shabbat, and we forbid him from joining a minyan. There is a book called Rabbi Alim, and he wrote a special Tisha B'Av on it. He said, no. Today, we and all these people are considered like a person who goes into captivity and doesn't know much, because people really don't mean to go against God. Some excuses and so on. They said every rabbi should act according to the where he is, according to the people, according to the time. There is not to push them away. That's why they keep quiet about it. I remember when I came to this community, first year, I joined the community, and all of a sudden came some group of people. They came to me, headed by Eli Munajjid, Alav Shalom, was a very tzaddik. So Rabbi, we like you very much. We want to open a new congregation. What do you want to open? A new congregation called Kehilat Shomrei Shabbat. Congregation Shomrei Shabbat. We want you to join us. And we are not going to give aliyah anybody who is not Shomrei Shabbat. That will not. Look, I said, you mean if a person not Shomrei Shabbat will come to pray with you, you don't let him pray? I said, no, we'll let him pray. But we won't give him the things that. I said, we would love to have you, our rabbi. And I like the idea. I was young, I came, I just now came from Yerushalayim. But I said, I can't do it without talking to Mr. Isaac Sharma. Isaac Sharma was the president. He was responsible for me coming here. And it's not fair that I would do something without his approval. I went to Mr. Isaac Sharma, and they suggested to me something very, very attracting me to God. He jumped and he said, Rabbi, we didn't bring you here to split our people. We want you to bring all the people back to God. You must serve everyone. We don't want you to serve only a group of people. Everyone. And he put a fight against it. And I saw that it not worked. They were very disappointed. They wanted it, but I told them, I can't help it. And this is the man that's responsible. And said, we have to bring benefit to the truth. He has a lot of right. Because if you imagine, if we hasb shalom, we push away people, how many people came back to religion? Only because we worked with them. I know that one young man came to me once criticizing the rabbis. He said, the rabbis give respect to Muhammad Shabbat. And I don't understand how you do this. And I was very happy. I saw my students becoming so religious, very enthused about it. I was happy about it. Okay. 2 weeks later, he came again, sharper tongue, and speaking much harder. I still was happy. And third time, he went out of the way too much. Then I held him. I shook him from his shirt. I said, listen, you young man, let me tell you one thing. If I would do exactly what you wanted me to do, you wouldn't be a Jew today. You would be in some conservative or reform place. He blushed right away and said, Rabbi, why do you say that? I said, because your father was one of those people. Your father came to Rosh Hashanah, and I'm well observant. I was annoyed a little bit, but I didn't say anything. He came the first day of Rosh Hashanah. He had a little beard. Second day of Rosh Hashanah, smooth. I said, if I did that, I would yell at him, tell him, get out of here. You know what he would do? He would go to some conservative reform place. He wouldn't be a Jew today. He would learn there, finish. You know what I mean? Thank God, because of him, you became religious. Because of that we were tolerant. And at the end, the father came with a big supporter of Yeshiva. And he used to see me in the streets. He said, Hacham, my children are Nas Madah. They are fine people, better than me, he tells me. And he used to be so proud and cries. And he used to support Yeshiva and say, I thank you, because of you, my children are hungry. And this is what we gain. We brought them back. What should we do? This is the conditions. We have to do what we can. That means, in a way, Isaac Shalom was right. We came to serve the people just to let them understand the great values of Judaism to bring them back. And now, this one I'm saying came the Ketoret. After the Tamid, we read the Ketoret, we read all the explanation of the Ketoret, we read from the Gemara, and of course, they put some flavors before. Came Moran and said, it's good to read also before anything the Parasha of the Akedah, the story of Avraham Avinu taking Yitzchak, tying him up, putting him on the altar, trying to offer him as a sacrifice, till you God stopped him. He said, what are we doing? Because it's written in the Midrash. God said to Abraham, whenever your children in the future, they'll be in troubles, and they will read this parasha, they will mention, they will ask me to have a mercy on them, I will have mercy on them. The zechut of Akedat Yitzchak is so great that that's why Maran said, it's good to read Parashat Akedah every morning. We start with Akedah, then we come, we thank God for giving us the chance to read Shema, and then we come to Parashat of the Tamid, then the Ketoret, then there is one chapter from Mishnayot that speaks about all the Korbanot that there is. Why? Because some of the Korbanot are called Hatat, Hashem. What are they, these Korbanot? If a person did certain Avon, certain wrongdoing, he has to bring this korban, another wrongdoing, another korban. And maybe we have that wrongdoing. And we read all the korbanot. Well, the Ashkenazim, even they have a special prayer after each korban. Oh God, please, let this, in case I was obligated to bring this korban, accept this for me instead of the korban. We don't say that here at all. But Ashkenazim say it after every Mishnah, in Ezehu Mekomat. Then comes, of course, that's called the korbanot. After the korbanot, comes a part called Zemirot. What is Zemirot? Praise of God. Who put those Zemirot? Who put the praise of God? King David. Most of the Pesukim that there is, from Baruch She'amar till Yishtabah, except the Vayosha, are words of David. From Yichevot, Mizmor LeTodah, Yichevot from Tehillim, Asher Shevetecha, Hallelujah, all the Hallelujahs. Even Vayvarech David, it's the words of David from Devarei HaYamim. Then Vayosha only, that we read Shirat HaYam every day. Why Shirat HaYam? Was something very, very good. The Jewish people saw that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them, all of them, when he split the water to let them go through. And they saw something that nobody else saw, the whole nation. And they were praising the name of God with this song. That's why we use this song every day, because the Midrash said, every time we mention this song, again HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it says, I will have more kindness towards the Jewish people. And we say, of course, before the Zemirot, before this praise of God, there is one Beracha, and at the end there is another Beracha. That's both considered one Beracha, not two. First Baruch She'amar, and then Yishtabah. From Baruch She'amar to Yishtabah, it's called Zemirot. Then the third part.
Why did this say Hashem Zemirot twice?
Because the pasuk is so important, they wanted to explain what does it mean Hashem Yimloch La'olam Ba'ed. Hashem is Yimloch La'olam Ba'ed, and now he will not be. Yimloch means future, and now he's not a king. That's why they read the Targum said his kingdom will be forever. They change it a lot. Hashem Al-Khotekayim. Since they read the Targum, they want to show you the Hebrew is the main part. That's why they do it twice.
Which is the Targum? Which
Hashem Al-Khotekayim La'olam La'olam Ba'ed. What's Malchuteka in his kingdom?
It's now.
It lasts forever.
Uh-huh. But it's now. It's at present tense, isn't it?
Yeah. Ka'im le'alam ul'anam ayah. Will last forever. Le'olam ba'ed means will last forever. The kingdom that it is now will last forever. Now this is the Targum. They explain it more. If you look at Targum, you understand the meaning of the word. Now, this, as I said, the Zemirot. Then comes the third part, Yotzer. What do they call it? Yotzer begins with the word Yotzer. Or in the books they call it Kriat Shema uBirchoteha. The reading of Shema and its Berachot. You know, the reading of Shema is a mitzvah in the Torah. To read Shema every day, twice. The Torah said you must read this paragraph of Shema every day twice. When? Beshochvecha uKomecha. When you go to sleep and when you get up. Means in the evening and in the morning. The Torah wants us to read Shema every day. Why? Because they say when a person reads Shema every day, God said definitely this man would be instilled in him belief of God, in God. That's when we read Shema every day. It's important that since it is a mitzvah in the Torah that you should read, every mitzvah that we do, we say Belacha before that. We put tefillin, we say Laniach tefillin. Put talel, we say Leitatef v'tzitzit. But for the Shema, they gave us three Belachot. Two before and one after. What are the two before? The first one begins, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotzer Or, ends with the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yotzer HaMe'orot. That's one Belacha. Not like some people think, oh, this is part because they see different paragraphs. Tedbarach, Lanesa, that's all one. Then the second one begins, Ahavat Olam Ahavtanu, ends, Habocher Be'amo Yisrael Be'ahava. Then comes the Shema. After the Shema, there is a third Beracha from Be'yatsim till Gaal Yisrael. That's all one. It's three Berachot. This is the third part of the prayer Shacharit.
Last Berachot before the Amidah, the Aryeh Israel. I read the book that between Israel and Hashem, name of the Amidah, you're supposed to kiss the head of the kiss of the
Lord. Well, I'll come to it later. Let's take one part at a time.
Well, let me ask a question. Before you were saying that the main, the korban, tamim, was the morning and the afternoon.
And the late afternoon.
The late afternoon. So how come we don't say Shema in Mincha instead of Arbit?
When you go to sleep, Mincha they don't say when you go to sleep, that's afternoon prayer. But Arbit is the evening prayer. That's why. Okay. We'll go back to it later. I'll explain why the Torah said also B'shachbucha Gomecha. Impossible to give you all at once. I'm just taking in general to come later on to the analysis. Then this is the third. The fourth, which is the most important part of the prayer, Amidah. Amidah, we stand up. This is the only prayer that we must stand up. And we stand up and we say the whole prayer of Amidah. But Amidah itself is divided into three parts. First part, praise of God. Second part, we request for our needs. And the third part, we are thanking Hashem for whatever He gave us. Then these are the three parts. The three parts are, there is 19 berachot over there. The first three are the praise of God. The last three are thanking God. Always they never change. These first three and last three, always we have them, every day of our life. But the middle one changes. The middle 13, the 13 berachot in the middle, and during weekdays are different. Shabbat, different. Rosh Chodesh, different. And whenever there is Musaf, holiday is different. Then we have to know why the difference when comes the time later. These are the 19 Berachot. Originally they were 18. And originally it was called Shmoneh Esreh. Shmoneh Esreh means 18, the 18 Berachot. But later they added to it another one. Why they added later we'll talk about it. Now this is the 19 Berachot that we say, and very, very important to know that we must have this Berachot in form. Now after the prayer, after the Amidah, is what we call Ahar Amidah, after the Amidah. From Vidui, from Anna till Alenu Shabeah. Why do we divide it into these five parts? Because we must understand, can we interrupt ourselves in the middle of the prayer or not? If we can, for what? When can we? When can't we? The law is, the first part that we call Korbanot, you're allowed, your friend asks you a question, you may answer out of Derech Eretz, Kavod, you answer. You stop between sentences, yes, you give him the answer, and you continue. This is in the Korbanot. Comes to Zemirot, from Baruch She'amat to Lishabah, you're not allowed to talk at all. But don't talk. From Baruch She'amar till after the Amidah, you can't talk at all. But when are you allowed to say something else besides the prayer? If you hear Kaddish, you answer. You hear Kedusha, you answer. You hear Barechu, you answer. You hear a man saying, Asher Kedusha, you're in the middle, you're on Asher Shavetecha. You answer Amen. That means in Berachot also, you answer Amen for Berachot. Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, and Berachot. This is in the second part, in the Mirat. Yeah?
I'm sorry. Do you have to, if you hear Kaddish, should you stop praying, or should you continue? You're saying Ashrei, and they start Kaddish. Are you supposed to stop and answer?
Do you stop what you're supposed to answer?
Are you allowed to pray while they're saying Kaddish also?
Yes, if you, and you're not when you say the part that you're supposed to say, like Ameni Hashem El Abba, you're supposed to say Hashem El Abba. You interrupt yourself and then you continue. Then I will say later on exactly how much you can say. Then comes the third part, which is, I said Yotzer, or Kriyat Shema or Berachot Deah, the Kriyat Shema and its Berachot. In Kriyat Shema and its Berachot, you cannot stop for Berachot. You hear Beracha, you don't answer Amen. Ashkenazim answer in between the paragraphs. After they say, the first Beracha is what? Yotzer Or, Yotzer Me'orot, ending Yotzer Me'orot. They stop there in Yotzer Me'orot, they wait for the Hazan. The Hazan says the ending out loud. Or Hadash An Tzion Ta'ir V'Nizkei Kulanu B'Mehera Le'oroho Baruch Ata Hashem Yotzer Me'orot. They wait for him. When he said Yotzer Me'orot, they all say Amen. They answer Amen. We don't. That's a reason, matter of opinions in the books. It's against it. And therefore, we do not answer Amen. So Yotzer Me'orot, even if we hear Berachot, we don't answer between Yotzer Me'orot and Abat Olam. On Berachot, we don't answer, but we answer Kaddish. No, not all the Kaddish, half a Kaddish. From Yid Gadal till the Amiran Be'alma, Be'ebu Amen. If they say Kaddish, someone is saying Yesh Elamah Al Yisrael, you don't answer. Or Tzitkabal, you answer only the five Amen that there is, and the Kaddish, and Yesh Emei Rabbah. That's all what you answer. And Kedusha, you don't read all the Kedusha with the people. You hear them saying Kedusha and you are in the middle of this part of the prayer. The Hazan says Nakdishach, you stand up, you wait. Listen to him saying Nakdishach. When he comes to Bekarazi Azeva Amar, say with them, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Sa'ad Mechula Aretz Kvodo. Then you keep quiet. The Hazan says La'umatam Meshabachim Va'amrim, you say with them, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mekomo. You don't say La'umatam Meshabachim Va'amrim. Then they come to say Vdurer Kodshach Katuv Lemo, you just listen. You don't say even Yimloch Hashem La'olam. You listen and you don't say it. This is, well, all what you answer in Kedusha, two sentences.
In Yotzer, there's in Yotzer now, right?
In Yotzer. In Yotzer you answer only two sentences of the Kedusha. Then, Baruch Hu. You hear Hazan saying Baruch Hu, and you go in the middle, say Baruch Hashem HaMibarach La'olam Vayet. That's all what you answer in the middle of Yotzer. You come to the Amida, you are not allowed to answer anything at all. But what do you do? You can go on to Amida. They say in Kaddish, you stop. Don't answer, just listen to them. When you listen to them, God said, since you think about it, I'll consider it for you credit as you answer. But I will not give you a punishment for the interrupting in the middle. Because if you remember, I said, Mahashava Tova, good thoughts. Kadosh Baruch Hu considered it as you did something good. Mahashava Ra'a, bad thoughts, Kadosh Baruch Hu said you didn't do. And they say, in one way, they tell you it's good, in one way they tell you, no, well, this is not good, we don't consider it. For punishment, there isn't. Reward, there is.
The two parts that you say that we reply in the...
Everybody is called. They put the coats on.
The two parts that we reply in the... for the Kedusha in Yotzer, the same applies for Shema and for Emet v'Yatzir?
Yes.
Same exact?
Same thing, exactly. The whole part, I said...
Even in Shema?
Yeah. Even in the middle of Shema, you answer only what I mentioned before, not more.
What about the Kohanim? If you're saying the Amida,
yeah,
and then the Hazara, they say Kohanim, you should stop?
No.
You can finish what you're saying.
You continue. You don't say Kohanim.
But do you stop to listen?
No, you don't have to.
No?
No.
What if a Kohen is in the room?
Yeah, you don't have to.
What if a Kohen is in the room?
If you're in the middle of Amida, you don't stop.
If a Kohen is in the room in the middle of Amida...
Yeah, if he is in that part, in the part that Tosh Bukhana wrote, he will say Kohen with them. Otherwise, he wouldn't. Now, after Amida, like the first part, you can answer everything. But of course, it's not advisable to, in the middle of Bidu, but if there is necessity, you answer. Then these are the five parts of the prayers. Now, of course, we came to, according to the Kabbalah, they say, you start from the beginning of the prayer, you are going up and up and up and up till you reach to the highest level, like person climbing and going to the highest level. Then you start climbing down. And they call it, there is in the world, there is four different worlds. There is the top world, which is only place of God. No one else is over there, even no angels. Let's call it Atzilut, the nobility, nothing there, only the glory of God. Then there is the word of the angels. They call it Beriah. He created some creations over there, which is the angels. Then there is Yetzirah. He formed something else, lower part of this world, but more on the planets. Then there is Asiyah, this the earth, the place we do. Then we go from Asiyah to Yetzirah, to Beriah, to Atzilut. We reach the top of the ladder. Then we start coming down. Where do we go? They said the part, the first part, the Korbanot, that's Asiyah. We go higher to the Yetzirah. We come to Zemirot, this is the Yetzirah. We come to Yotzer, is the Beriah. We come to Amidah, Atzilut. Oh, you're all on the highest level. Then after that, you start climbing down. You come, Anna, till Yahalim Lashem, you come one word down. From there to Filale David, till Kaveh, you come another one down. Then Kaveh till Alim Shabeah, all the way down. Again to coming down to this word. But I don't expect you going into Kabbalah, thinking all the highest world. I don't expect myself. I want to say I'm a simple man.
Okay.
I like to be simple and let God understand me the way I am. I don't want to go to be the great one. I'm not from the gate. I'm going to be simple. This is the according to Kabbalah. Now, go back. We'll take the main part that we talk. When possible, to talk about all of them, each and every one. And details, it will take me hours and hours and hours. Even here, now we're talking about giving in general idea about all of them, to go to this Amidah, to explain. We explained last week the one Beracha. So the one Beracha is a very, very important Beracha, that if a person does not think about the meaning of it, he doesn't fulfill his duty. Shulchan Aruch said, at least, it's important to think about the meaning of each Beracha. But if you don't, as long as you have good intention to understand the first bracha, when you are praying, you fulfill your duty. That's the first bracha is the most important. Of course, it's more important. Better would be if you think about ever. What is after the first bracha? The second bracha, we praise God for what? For something that only God has the power. No human being has that power. What is it? To make people who are dead live again. Is there any doctor today that will tell you I can make the dead people come back to life? No doctor. No doctor invented yet any kind of medication to bring people back to life. They said, ooh, they revived him. What means he's still living? But they did not bring a person who is absolutely dead back to life. Of course, there is some human being who brought people back to life. Nevi'im. Eliyahu Nabi, Elisha, that's power of God. That God gave him the power to bring. And you know that we said, if the tzaddik asked something from God, the Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfills his wish. Okay, this we know, that there were. All the great rabbis, they had this power, because God will fulfill their wish. I'm not going to go about the rabbis of the Talmud. They had the power, each and every one of them, to make a person who is dead to live again. They told one rabbi, Rabbi, we were digging somewhere, all of a sudden we came someplace, we saw a body over there. Fresh like now, in one of the places, the very old. The rabbi went there, and said, waking him up, what's your name? He told him his name. I said, when did he die? He told him when he died. I said, how come that your body is exactly the same in that? said, didn't you learn the Bible? Thereby tells the rabbi, you didn't learn the Bible? He said, Verakav atzamot kina. What makes the bones rot? Jealousy. If a person had jealousy throughout his life, then his bones will become turned to dust. Otherwise, they stay fresh as they are. So thank God I didn't have no jealousy from anyone in my lifetime. And God kept me fresh. This is what the Gemara said, the story, Be Yoshia. He wants to be Yoshia. And the rabbi walked up with many, many years, much later, to show you how. They say the tzaddikim, they stay the body the way it is, one time. You know, the rabbi Kassim, had a brother in Mexico, Abraham Katzin, tzaddik, very great tzaddik. He passed away. The time that Israel state was established, till Mexico did not allow to take the body to Israel. They buried him there temporarily, till will come time. A year later, they gave them the right to bury him, to take him to Israel to bury him there. They went, they opened the grave, and the government came, the officers, to bring, you know, all kinds of things. Maybe there is a bad odor or something. Nothing. They took the body, where they know the box, and they took it to Israel. When they went to Israel, in Israel, they buried without a box. They opened the box, they buried there. They opened the box, or Havra Kedisha came, asking Mechila, and so on, and going. The people who were there, members of the Havra, the rabbi, you can't believe it, what we saw. The body was exactly fresh as it just now, then, after a year, they put him, they buried him, Abraham Katzin. He was a layman, not a rabbi, but he knew how to learn. He used to teach Hokli Israel every day there, and he made people always learn Torah. He was in business and teaching people Torah. He was very, very loyal to Torah Mitzvot. He has children also, just like him today. They are very good children. They said, well, I remember I saw him, he came, he paid visit here and there. And they told me exactly about him. There is, that means, Baruch Hashem, in every generation, there's tzaddikim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu showed us that there is these things. And the power to make a person who is dead live again, no power, only power of God. But they come in that beracha, they put beside the Hiyat HaMetim, making the dead live again. There is another thing. What is it? That God gives us the water. The water sustains us. Without water, there will be no existence to any living things today. Not only the living, even growing things. There isn't. Nothing grows without water. Then the water is very important. That's why they put it in this beracha. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cures people, that they are very sick, that people, doctors, give up hope, that nothing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make them cure. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to keep his promise to those who are sleeping up under the ground. Sleeping, they don't say dead. They say what? That you'll bring them back to life. That means we believe in Tehiyat HaMetim, the reform, those Rishayim, you know. They took this bracha out of the Amidah. That's what's the matter with you. Do you really believe in it? After a person becomes a dust, and he will come again. If something wasn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it be. Something that was already, can HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it be again? This is, they removed it. But Baruch Hashem, we believe, and Rambam said, Maimonides, anyone who doesn't believe in one of the 13 principles, one of them is this, Tehiyat HaMetim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God will make the person live again, he is not a Jew. I said, not only that, if he doesn't believe in Tehiyat HaMetim, he will not get up. They tell him what? You don't believe? Stay there. You believe in it, you get up. You don't believe? Stay there. This is Tehiyat HaMetim. That's how we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Hayah Metim. Begins from the words of Tagibor, to show the might of God, the power of God. Tagibor La'olam Hashem, Mehayeh Metim Atah, you make the dead live again. Rav Lo Shia, you help people. Moridatar or Mashiva Rahmada Geshen, depend winter or summer. Then he said, Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed, he provides the living people with his kindness, with all their needs. Mechaye Metim Berachamim Rabim. In his mercy, he will bring the dead come back. Somech Nofenim, he supports the people that are going to fall down. Matir Asurim, what's what is it? Untie the people who are prisoners, especially the person when he goes to sleep, just like he doesn't know what he's doing. Tied up. Just for waking him up, he comes back. Umkayem Emunato, Mishapar. He's going to keep his promise to those who are sleeping under the dust. Then, Mi Chamocha, who like you, O God, Baal Gevurot, that has this power. Umid Melech, who could be compared to you. Melech Memit, Umhaye, Umatzmi, Heshuan. They ended with Hayat Metim, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mehaye Metim. Now we come to the third one. Third one, that's why they put Nakdishach over there. Why? What do we say in the third one? Ata Kadosh, you are holy. Veshimcha Kadosh, your name is holy. Ukdoshim, Bechol Yom, Yaluch, and the holy ones, they are praising you every day. Who are the holy ones? Who are the holy ones? There is two meanings to it. Kadoshim could be the angels, because the angels, they praise God, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh every day. And